Hello, Headley.
Hello. We're live. We're live. We're live. We're
Live.
live. Do not swear. Welcome to Wessex Ways podcast. I'm Headley Thorne.
And I am Paul Whitewick. Who are you, Headley? Who are you?
I'm Headley Thorne. I've already we've just been over
Oh,
that.
have we done this
Who
already?
am I? I see what you mean. Sorry, yes. Aerial historic landscape photographer and stuff. What about you? What do you do, Paul?
I make films and put them on the interweb, specifically the YouTube.
The YouTube, is that some kind of social media?
Apparently,
Okay.
it's a search engine.
Is it? I feel this intro has lost energy. Let's roll the music.
Welcome back.
Dear. What have you been up to this week, sir?
Oh, all sorts, really, Headley. All sorts. What have I been up to? I've made an announcement on our YouTube channel. You may or may not have watched the announcement video.
I have watched the announcement video,
Oh,
and I love the location as well.
yes, excited times in the Whitewick household. I was kind of getting frustrated making videos that my rule is you put a video out every Sunday, and I was getting to the point where I was kind of thinking, I'm rushing the videos, and I don't want to do that. I want to get back to really enjoying the videos, and to do that, I need a tiny bit more time. I need 10 days or 2 weeks, maybe a little bit more, but not too much more. And I just thought I'm falling out of love of making videos because I think, oh, well, I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done. And so me and Rebecca took a walk up Martinsell Hill, which you know very well, Headley,
I
not
know, I
least
loved
the
your drone footage was
Did you like the
spectacular.
drone footage?
I love the drone footage. I don't know where you took that or got that from.
Was going to say, not least because I plagiarise a lot of your videos these days, Headley, don't I? I
That's
think.
fine. That's what they're there for.
In fact, my
It gets
next.
more viewing if you've plagiarized it because I don't have many followers.
Well, there you go. But in fact, I've already plagiarised a clip I've already used of yours in our next video.
Oh, wow.
And if I said to you it's got your friend Anna in it, then you'll probably know which one I've plagiarised once again.
Never heard of her. Never
I
heard of
don't
her.
know. It rings a bell, Anna, but
Rings a bell.
rings a bell. But yeah, so we took a walk up Martinsell Hill to explain what we're doing, and we oh, I love Martinsell Hill. Every time I go up there, I learn something a bit new about it. It's one thing I do learn about Martinsell Hill is to ensure you leave no valuables in your car, because I've seen so many car break-ins up there, and that's mad because it's in the middle of like a triangle of Burbage, Marlborough, and Pewsey. It's like the least crime hotspot areas you can imagine. But I've honestly seen three car break-ins.
That's becoming more of a thing, though, isn't it? Everywhere
I
it seems
guess,
to
yeah.
be, the Ridgeway has a lot of that as well, and they're putting signs up.
Oh, really? Right.
I did a video and I showed in it. I showed one of the signs that they've put up because there is a lot of break-ins, and I actually think that if you genuinely have nothing in your car that's nickable, so generally I have a pair of old walking boots in the back and that's it, then take your parcel shelf off so that people can see that you've got nothing to steal. That's
Well,
why I think.
we kind of did a bit of a thing where I'd left a sign. You probably in the video, I left a little sign in the front of the car saying no valuables left in this car, because I've seen it so many times. I just thought, do you know what? I'm not going to take the risk of someone bashing a window in to, as you say, to get nothing out of it because there is no valuables in there. But yeah, so we took a walk up the beautiful Martinsell Hill. We did it. We filmed it over 3 days, actually. Just because we wanted to take our time and we wanted to do what we said we're going to do, which is savor the places we're going and really enjoy the places we're going, rather than going, right, quick, we've got to do this bit here, then film there, then film there. And yeah, there's so
You
much there, so much.
pick the right place. That it's gorgeous. I mean, it's very high up. It's a huge vista from the top. But I think it's a place that's probably there's never many people there, and yet everyone knows it, and it's special to them in some way. And
Totally.
obviously very special to you. Because well, I won't say why, because people should watch the video.
People can go watch the video and see why it's special, and see how I slightly messed up a special moment in a comic way.
In a similar way to we've messed up Microsoft Teams.
Wow, I was just thinking we should mention that for the benefit of the people watching on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
For some reason, we have no longer got the Roman amphitheatre, which I'm really upset about. So, where are you, Hedley? You look like you're somewhere like the Alps.
Well,
or
as you can see, I'm high up in the what's probably the Dolomites or something. But no, this is a generic background from the paid version of Microsoft Teams.
Unlike but, my paid background, Hedley, which is
you've got a proper background.
Yeah. So who knows what those will come out like on YouTube, but who cares, because we'll put some pictures over as we often do for you to gaze over. What are you, Hedley? What have you been up to in the last week or two?
Well, you know me, you can tell from my scruffy hair that I haven't had time for a haircut. So I've done a lot for my Sims, but no, today was nice. I went to see my mum, and she said, oh, you know, do you want to come around and go for a little walk? So there's a path around the village of Marcham, which is called the Jubilee Walk. And when she said little walk, it wasn't little walk, it was absolutely miles in the rain. We saw the River Ock and everything, where I used to misbehave as a hang out as a child. I'm going to mention, I don't think he listens to the podcast, but my friend Matt, he and I did a night walk up Lowbury Hill.
Oh, wow.
And we took head torches and filmed the sunset using drones, and walked back down in the pitch black, and it was just brilliant fun, absolutely brilliant fun. There's lots of rabbit holes to avoid on the way down, but it's good. It's my youngest son's birthday, so we went to Winchester and had a look around. He's currently a little bit obsessed with King Alfred, which is a good thing to be obsessed with.
Wow, love it.
So we went around Winchester, and then we went to London to watch the Back to the Future West End show.
Yep.
Absolutely incredible. Incredible. It's, I didn't think it'd be good. I think I was worried that it would spoil the film for me.
Yeah.
It just didn't. It's the special effects were phenomenal.
So it's a theatre production of the original Back to the Future.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Brilliant. Yeah, they've cleaned it up a little bit for 2023. So instead of the Doc being killed by Iranian terrorists, he's killed by plutonium radiation. Far more appropriate way to die, of course. Then I went with somebody called Anna down to Wiltshire to hear David Carson giving a talk on the history of Oughton Barnes.
Oh, wow.
Very, very good. Very good. We went with the full intention of heckling him, but in the end, it was I think we were too nervous and we were enjoying the content so much that we didn't. But yeah, that was really good. I meant to have to do a walk and a photo shoot on the way down, but unfortunately the weather didn't really allow it.
Put you on the spot, Hedley. Did he mention the village or the abandoned settlement of Shaw, Shaw, I wonder, which is about maybe 2 kilometres north of Oughton Barnes? I've been reading about it myself lately.
Is that near Tan Hill?
Yeah, it's on that way. It's like 2 or 3 kilometres north.
So I think, I'm going to get this right, I think that in the hot summer last year, that was revealed. So Tim Dore got in contact with myself and Glyn Coy, asking if one of us can get some drone shots in the heat of the ground. And I was away, and Glyn went along, and he got some fantastic aerial shots of what looked to be the remains of a village under Tan Hill.
I wonder if that's it. Must
I
be
think it. That's probably it. That's probably it. Almost, I might be wrong.
Yeah, it's almost common. Just south of the Wansdyke, I think.
Yeah.
It's in the neck of the woods. Ah, fascinating.
But maybe if I'm wrong, someone can comment below. And in fact, on that note, at the end of this video, we're going to read out some of the comments from last week's video. So if you want to get your name and opinions mentioned on the next podcast, can't guarantee we do them all, obviously, comment down below. And later on in this podcast, we will read out some of the comments and names from last time. So that's if you're watching on YouTube. But obviously, if you're listening, then message one of us on Twitter or something. And that's it. I did a few walks around the clumps, been preparing for both of the upcoming exhibitions. So it's been like a printing press, and the house is full of framed pictures that I'm trying to protect. So yeah, other than that's it for me. It's been busy couple of weeks and working outside of all of that as well. So yeah.
Well, so we're slowly coming into spring as well now, so I think when we do get
Yeah.
out and about, it'll be a little bit more enjoyable.
If this rain ever goes away,
Well, I
I'm
think
looking
this
on.
week is supposed to be a bit wet, but I think next week is supposed to be a bit warmer, so we'll
I
look
hope
forward
so.
to that.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah,
So.
yeah. I've got, well, if you're done on what you've been up to here, I thought there's some interesting news, bits and pieces that I've been sort of listening to over the last couple of weeks as well. We need some news music, like a, like an intro to kind of a,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? I mean, first of all, I saw a really intriguing post on Twitter by Tim Dore. And he posted a link to an article about Stonehenge and how there was like an almost like an alignment of stone circles. And almost like Stonehenge was just almost like a periphery. And it wasn't as important as it wasn't the centre. And there's a whole article on how this there was a line almost from Swindon down. And it sort of led me down this rabbit hole of looking at stone circles that I'd never heard of. And our Coat Circle in Swindon,
Oh,
Winterbourne Bassett Circle,
yeah.
obviously Avebury as well, coming down south and then down towards Stonehenge, and a couple of others in Dorset. And yeah, you can almost draw a line, and it's, I thought this is really fascinating. And almost like a almost acts as like a trading center or a trading route, and they were trading centers along the way. It's fascinating. And yeah, I went down this rabbit hole, and I went and saw Winterbourne Bassett Stone Circle. Yeah, really interesting. It really caught my eye.
So, question for you. I mean, first of all, apologies for my comments on that post. I didn't read what you'd put
Oh, no,
properly, and
what did you
I
put?
spent about an hour trying to identify one of the forts
Oh.
that you had actually mentioned in the comment anyway.
Yeah.
So I deleted that. So I'm wondering if those two forts that you identified up in Swindon Way, if maybe they were on the Icknield Way.
Okay, could be.
Be
Well,
that
should I?
runs,
I've got the map up already, so should I flick
yeah.
over to
So
that?
the Icknield Way generally now, I mean, it's generally road systems now, but it runs parallel with the Ridgeway to the north of the Ridgeway. Now, both of those forts that you mentioned, one of them's actually covered by the M4 now,
Yep, correct.
which
Oh,
crosses the
that's called
Icknield Way.
Fir Clump. That's all I couldn't identify. Fir Clump.
So I'm wondering if they were both on the Icknield Way or at least adjacent to it.
As you say, if that runs parallel to the old Ridgeway there, then yeah, why not? Yeah, that's fascinating.
It would be parallel with the old Ridgeway because the way the
Oh, I
Ridgeway
see.
goes there now between Barbary and Lidington, it kind of makes a reverse L shape. And it used to sort of go as a direct line between the two to cut the corner, so to speak. And so the Icknield Way probably would have done something similar, parallel with it just to the
Just
north,
above it, yeah,
which
like a.
then probably brings it somewhere in line with those two forts that you mentioned.
Yeah, not far at all off, I would say. Yeah, not far at all. So it's Fir Clump and Coates Circle, or Coates, whatever it would be called. I still think you can see a bit of Coates. There is Stone Circle. There we go. I'm looking at it right now. Oh, we've been interrupted by Rebecca, who's actually bought some food, so I'm not going to complain. Hi, Rebecca.
That looks substantial. Do you want to
That's not
reconvene?
substantial. I mean, well, let's just finish. If we finish this little bit here, because this is fascinating. This is fascinating. So there is Coat Water. And next to it is Coat Stone Circle. You can still see it today. None of them are standing, but they're still in the field, in roughly, I guess, the position they used to be in. So if I head, you've got Fir Clump sort of to the south west, and then as you say, if we head further to south to, there it is. Well, no, it's not. Hold on.
See, I can't see what you're doing
No,
on the
you can't. I
screen,
should have seen
so
it on the screen.
I'm
Sorry.
getting a little taste of what our Spotify listeners are
You
having to
are,
put
yeah.
up
Oh
with.
God, this is
You,
awkward.
yes.
Yeah. Well,
No,
anyway,
that's fine.
right,
That's
back to
fine.
Radiohead. not the popular beat
Radiohead.
combo, but Radiohead,
Nice.
who interestingly made the best 007 soundtrack ever that was never used.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, yes, yes.
There's a really good video on it on YouTube. Right, so Winterbourne Bassett, just to the west of Winterbourne Bassett by about a mile, is another stone circle. And yeah, that's the other one of the three that were mentioned. But yeah, went down a huge rabbit hole of these stone circles and the line and the article that Tim Dord shared. And it was really fascinating. You know, that you never really think of, you think of Stonehenge as this hugely religious or ceremonial or whatever. But actually, if you think of it in terms of a route, in terms of a, you know, like a trading route, a centre, then it gives it a different sort of perspective, I thought. Yeah, really different.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Cool. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Should we press pause?
Let's press pause. 1 eternity later. Right. Have you finished?
Well, I mean, I could do with washing it down with a drink of water. That was quite a treat I've just had then.
So if you've just joined us, this is Paul Whitewick's food hour. just had a pizza and some water. So what were you talking about?
What was right, so to finish what I was talking about, which was the stone alignment, there's a lot more. You know, I love the work that some of the antiquarians of the time did. And I've done a video before on A.C. Smith and his beautiful map. A guy with too much money and too much spare time on his hands. But thankfully he did, because he said, right, you know, I'm really concerned. Agriculture is taking over the land. And farmers, or not farmers, but landowners are being allowed to just destroy all these monuments we have. Because he recognised that there's so many of these stone circles or burial chambers or megalithic structures that he said, we must document these because they're disappearing. So he drew this map around Avebury, sort of a 10-mile by 10-mile square, 100 square miles. And it turns out, yeah, he documented a lot of these stone circles we've just been talking about. Coat Circle, Fir Clumps, you know, before the M4 went straight through the middle of Fir Clump. And thankfully he did, because now you can record it. And it's not just A.C. Smith. I think there was a guy called Passmore. And yeah, again, he recorded a lot of these stone structures. That at least we know where they were, and if there is significance to be gleaned from it, like the Tim Dore article, we've got a bit more context because we knew what came before, because he described it, and he described it beautifully. I've been trying to keep an eye out for his book as well, but it's a little bit too much on eBay at the moment. I think it's £100 on eBay, so a bit too much of a stretch, I think. But yeah, so that was my little waffle on news, courtesy often as of Tim Dore.
Tim features a lot. He's an interesting bloke.
He does, doesn't he?
He's an interesting bloke.
Yes.
Cool. Right. There's one other bit of news I was going to say before we go into our talk things about our main subjects. Of course, the viewers and listeners will know what my main subject is. Paul doesn't. And so we play a silly little treasure hunt game to get him there. That he thinks everyone likes. So what I so
they
what
do, they do
they do we well, they do yeah they do. But the point is, just so you know, I'm going to be part of Oxfordshire Art Weeks. So this runs from the 6th of May through to the 20 something of May. Not kind of promoting my work, but there's a lot of artists, photographers, etc. around Oxfordshire who show off their work at different locations. If you ever look at the Oxfordshire Art Week's website, if you're looking for a nice sort of day out, there's lots of different places you can visit and stuff on view. I'm going to be with a load of artists who are exhibiting at the Earth Trust in Little Whitnam. So feel free to contact me directly if you need more information, but it'd be good to see some of you there. And again, I'm not trying to sell my prints or anything, but we do have a nice coffee van, and if no one comes along, it's all mine. So yeah, anyway, that's my plug done.
No harm in a plug at all, Eddie.
No. Right, did you want to find how do you want to do this? Well, do you want to,
I'll bring up my map again for the courtesy of the people on YouTube. I'll try and be descriptive, obviously, so we don't lose podcast viewers.
Okay.
Do you know what I thought this week? That I would start in Malibu.
Sorry, it's the treasure hunt music. So. Yeah, I can do that. I'll turn that off before we have copyright problems.
I'm going to start in Marlborough, Station. Right, because just to the south of Marlborough, GWR built a railway called the Hanson Barton Extension Railway. Mm. And there was a businessman in Marlborough who said, well, we need that railway to connect to us. Mm. So he campaigned to GWR to build it. And they built a very cheap line. And it went all the way sort of around the hill of Cadley and Savernick Forest.
Yeah.
Quite steep, really ropey. But nevertheless, it connected to the main line of GWR. So I'm gonna use that line, Headley.
Okay.
And navigate my way south.
Navigating your way south from Marlborough, yeah?
South from Marlborough. We've just bashed through the Wansdyke because we didn't care when we built railways back in the 1850s.
So you are a long way from where I'm talking about, but you're not getting any colder by going that way. You're about the same, maybe a little bit warmer.
Right, so my next stop on the line would have probably been Savernack Lower Station, which is where the junction would be. So I've got a choice here, Headley, either heading east or west.
I would heartily recommend west.
You'd recommend going west? Well, that's fine. We can do that. Because, as I said,
so you see, we do a lot of stuff around the northeast of Wessex, and I thought maybe we could push it a little bit further west this time.
Well, that's wise. Okay. Well, let's head on towards Devizes.
Okay, we're going towards Devizes. So,
yep. And do you know what
do? You're getting a bit warmer. You're getting a bit warmer, but it's still quite cold.
Well, let's stop at Devizes Station, just at the other side of the tunnel. Castle, and let's hop on the Kennet and Avon Canal and let's get a boat.
Why not?
Down Cainhill Locks.
Okay.
And
opening a beer. Yeah,
you're opening a beer. That's fine, because
I always do it at this point.
This is a good time to do it. I'm gonna head now. I'm headed past Bradford on Avon, so I'm almost at the junction with the Somerset Shire Coal Canal. We're south of
Bradford upon Avon. Let's have a look. Yeah. You're heading the right way, but you're still quite cold. Currently you're southeast of Bath, but you're heading the right way, crucially.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's keep on the summit. Let's take the junction with the Somerset Coal Canal and keep heading west, and we're going to find ourselves near Portland Basin.
You're getting warmer.
This is good. All right. Well, I'm kind of out of railways, really, because no other railway went east-west here. So we might have to just jump on a horse and cart if we continue heading west. So let's do that.
I think you're going to need a fast horse.
Okay. Well, that's what there was an old horse and cart around here called Quicksilver. And I think it did Plymouth to London in like a day and a half. So we'll go with the Quicksilver. Right. All right. What about if I land my horse and cart near Cheddar?
Oh, Cheddar. Cheddar. Yeah, you're only slightly warmer.
Really?
You need to do... Do you remember when we did the Lundy episode? We had to make a big leap west.
I remember it well, Headley.
Yeah. So you need to supercharge your horse and get a... Right. You need to get rid of your old nag and trade it in for a... pedigree racehorse.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do then, Headley. Let's chuck the horse in the bin completely. And No horses hurt in the making of the beer.
Yeah.
And from Burnham on Sea, I'm going to catch some kind of ferry, because there probably was a ferry, right?
If
I get like a ferry all the way across the north coast towards sort of Minehead.
Okay, so theoretically you're a bit warmer there, but you don't really want to stay out to sea. So you want to definitely... Your journey westwards is nearly complete, but you want to start heading down towards the sunshine a little bit.
Okay, well, let's get off the boat then. Let's disembark and head south. We could take a river. I wonder if this is navigable. The River X. We're going to take the River X south.
Okay, going upstream.
I'm almost in Exbridge.
Exbridge. Exbridge. Now you're getting warmer. You're getting warmer.
Right. Super. I'll keep going south. Tiverton.
Yes. Yeah, warmer still, but you need to keep going.
Okay. I'm going to hang it in a little bit and head towards Crediton.
Crediton. Yeah, now you're really warm. Right. You're really warm.
Brilliant. Right, there's a lot of old railways around here, so we can probably pick one up. But, I mean, from Crediton, where should I be going, Hedley? I don't know now.
The way you were going was good. You probably want to head to a large area of land to the southwest.
Right. You're suggesting the old Roman city of Exeter.
Not quite. I'm looking more of an area, but Exeter's not far off. So go to the southwest of Exeter. Okay. You've got a big area there.
Are you thinking the Dartmoor National Park?
Dartmoor National Park is 368 square miles of vast moorland in Devon. Yes,
it's big.
Yes. So the reason I wanted to cover Dartmoor is two reasons. First of all, everything we seem to do is, apart from Lundy, has been kind of up in the eastern end of Wessex. And so partly for that purpose, when I went down to pick my son up from university at Plymouth, I made a vow to myself that I would see as much of Dartmoor as I could in a day, in what I had, bearing in mind it's 9 hours worth of total driving as well.
Well, give me a starting point, Hedley. Give me a starting point. Where was your first?
Okay, so the first. Well, let me talk about a little bit about Dartmoor first. Then I'll go to where I've been. So, 368 square miles in Devon. It features. Oh, it has about 11 million visitors a year. So, that's a lot. It was made of commons. So these are unenclosed, privately owned moorland where locals basically graze livestock. And drones are banned. Yeah. Although I took that to mean that flying drones is banned. Since my drone has got the best camera that I own on it, I did use it, but I didn't fly it. I held it as a camera. So that would be a very difficult court case getting me on that, to be honest with you. Dartmoor's full of ponies. It's generally a craggy landscape, so what you've got is kind of forests, rivers, wetlands and tors. Now there's 160 named tors in Dartmoor, and they're basically granite rock formation. So I think what's happened is you've got granite under the ground, and what's happened is the soil over time at the top has washed away, so the top of each of the tors has got these spectacular kind of granite rocks that stick out the top, and they all kind of look similar in a way. So you know, if you showed me a picture of a tor, I wouldn't be able to name it. The area is rich in history. It's all Neolithic and Bronze Age, so you've got sort of, you know, everything from stone circles through to Neolithic caves and stuff like that. I'll give you a starting point. So I journeyed down. So I went to Two Bridges, which is goes over a river. I don't know the name of the river, but if you look at Two Bridges Hotel,
right in the middle.
So that was, you know, you come off a dull motorway after you've cruise controlled yourself to death and eaten cheap tasting service station sandwiches for lunch, rather for breakfast, and then you suddenly turn into this lush environment which is Dartmoor. I think there's two roads that cross Dartmoor. Both of them are absolutely spectacular. So started off at Two Bridges, just got out the car, have a breath of air. It was beautifully sunny. I didn't take any pictures. I don't know why. I think I was probably eager to get to where I was going that morning. So then I carried on along the road westwards, or southwestwards, I can't remember. And I got to Dartmeet Bridge. Bridge is beautiful. It's an extremely steep road. I think it's 20 something percent down into the down to the river, and then 20% up the other side. But the bridge itself is, I think it's a double arched stone bridge, So I couldn't go past that without photographing it. So got out the car just with my mobile phone and went to take some pictures of it. Dartmoor Bridge is beautiful, and I should have a photo of that. You might be able to put it up on the screen if I send it to you afterwards, for those people watching on YouTube. So from Dartmoor Bridge, I wanted to go to my first main place, which is called Windy Post. And again, we can put a picture that I took up here. So you park at a humorously named car park. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was quite funny. And you walk, it's about a 10-minute walk down south from the car park towards Windy Post. Now, Windy Post is a granite cross. So there's some 100 and something crosses across Dartmoor. This is a 2-meter-high granite cross, a few hundred years old, and it's leaning slightly to the west. And it sits by a leat. So a leat is kind of a controlled river or stream that trickles along, and then at the point it gets to Windy Cross, it splits in two. So one goes off to kind of the southwest, the other goes off to the northwest, and that goes down to basically provide water to settlements. It's got something called the Bullseye Stone there, so it creates a little waterfall as the water goes over. So the scene is quite amazing. You walk down through this sort of heather and bracken over the moors, and then you just get to this obscenely wonderful location where you have this leat that splits in two. One goes one way, one goes the other, and between the two you've got this kind of leaning granite post, and it's a photographer's dream. Especially if you've got something with a good variable aperture, so you can make the water look like it's a bit soft and stuff like that, and really, really amazing. And then you've got something there called the Clapper Bridge. I think this is a common thing in Dartmoor, and it's effectively a slab of granite that they put across the leat, and so people can cross. So so the cross was on the Moorland route. That goes from Merivale Bridge down to Tavistock, lovely town Tavistock. Bit of a climb up onto the moor from Tavistock, and so I had to see that area, and it was really, really nice. I then went to go and get my son from Plymouth and have lunch in Plymouth and everything, and we did a few things on the way back. So we went to see St Michael's Church, which is over to the west of Dartmoor. That was really nice. It's up on a hill, and it's on the St Michael's Ley Line. So you'll notice the St Michael's Ley Line, for those who believe in them, is a kind of a line that goes almost east-west across the south of England, but it's kind of more sort of southwest to northeast. And it's got lots of churches on it called St Michael, and they're all on hills. So you have St Michael's Mount in Cornwall, you have St Michael's Church in Dartmoor, you've got St Michael's Church at Clifton Hampden, and then other ones. I can't remember them off the top of my head. But it's a strange thing how all these hills with churches on top are all called St Michael, and they're all in a perfect line. So that's the St Michael's Ley Line.
I see.
And on the way back, my son and I decided to do some climbing, some walking, just to prove how unfit I am. So we went to we the weather was closing in, to be honest with you. It was getting really quite bad. So we went to something called Brat Tor, or as it's I think it's pronounced Bray Tor, but it's spelt Brat, Brat. And on top of it, it's got the largest cross in Dartmoor called Widgery Cross. It's quite a climb up there. So we crossed the river at the bottom. So again, can't remember the name of the river. I'm gonna have to Wikipedia that one. But you got the river,
Do Tor, Do oh River Lid,
the River Lid. Yeah, I knew it was
River
something
Lid.
complicated. And yeah, so you cross the River Lid. Now there's two ways of crossing it. You've got a bridge, which is really easy. Or if you're a massive child like me, even when the river's in partial flood, you've got the stepping stones. Now, all of the stepping stones are slightly submerged, because the river is so high. But naturally, my son and I are just basically children, so we got our feet wet and crossed that way. And then it was a long not a long, but a steep walk up to Breitor at the top to Widgery Cross. And yeah. It was just a real, an eye-opener to me how unfit I've become.
I mean, you know, it's high up, Ed. It's really high. It's,
like, I know it's high up, but, you know, 5 years ago, I did a double tourmalet in the Pyrenees on my road bike. And now I'm kind of, you know, I'm struggling to get 700 feet up a grassy hill. Anyway, my son was very kind and kept waiting for me, and there was this lovely group of ladies with their dogs who caught us up. Yeah. And we got to the top, and then the weather really closed in. So yeah. we were going to go on to a Great Links tour, which is a higher point further on, but the weather, we quickly realized that we were in the clouds, you know, everything below you disappears. I mean, well,
Great Links Tour is nearly 600 metres above sea level. Do you know, I didn't realise Dartmoor had... I mean, it's mountainous.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it is that is high, but the whole of Dartmoor seems to be... Again, I've only been there a couple of times. It seems to be on a kind of a plateau. So from Plymouth, you're driving uphill until you get to Dartmoor. Yeah. And then you walk up onto the edge of it and go up high. But it doesn't feel... that high up.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Yeah, I understand what you mean.
But it's very, very open. I mean, the bit we're in there, I mean, when the clouds cleared briefly, you could see for miles, you could see lots of different tours. But the ground was very wet underfoot, and we decided to... I decided we were going to go across to a Great Links tour, but it very quickly disappeared into the cloud, there's kind of, we're a long way from home, and I'm known for my accidents, so it was kind of a let's cut our losses and get down. I've seen quite a lot of Dartmoor. Have a quick look at the Warrant Inn on the way back, which I think is the highest pub in Dartmoor. There's kind of the views there are really nice, and there was a river that starts there. I'm trying to find the source of it because I'm a bit like that, you know. Bit fascinated by the sources of rivers. So That was basically experiences there. But one of the things that Dartmoor, there's been some controversy recently with Dartmoor. So we're back to the wild camping thing. So
of course, yeah.
The Dartmoor National Park Authority, or the DNPA, is currently actually considering an appeal to the decision that was made in January, where wild campers need to request landowners' permission. And I think it got to the point where some of the landowners, again, correct me if I'm wrong in the comments here, I seem to remember hearing that some of the landowners said, okay, you can camp on my land for a price, etc., etc. Now, Dartmoor is a big, wide open area. I think that back... So there was a... So they're discussing it on the 14th of April, which is 3 days' time. So by the time this comes out, it might have been on the news, whatever the result is.
Yeah.
But basically, landowners had claimed that campers had caused issues with livestock and the environment. So two things that spring to mind there for me are, first of all, that's going to be the minority. That's not going to be most wild campers. I mean, you watch any wild camper video on YouTube, the last thing they do before they pack up is leave it as they'd found it.
Yeah.
And I think it's a very small minority of campers that have caused the problem. And they're not the sort of people that appreciate it. And I think if the sort of people who had done that, they probably don't care about laws anyway. So, you know, if they've got no respect for the place they're in, they're not going to seek landowners' permission anyway. Yeah. So why bother everyone else with it, you know?
Yeah, and you're going to have exactly the same problem. Absolutely.
I think that they were talking about... There was a law in 1985 which was all about regulatory access to moorland. And it didn't provide a right to wild camping, and I think that, so what they're saying is, with the January the decision in January was based on the fact that you've never been able to wild camp there. It's just that no one's ever said it. So what the state we're at the moment is camping is restricted to specified areas, and I know the DNPA have got map on their website showing where you can camp and how to get landowners' permission.
Yeah.
But I mean, they've had thousands of people attending rallies against this, and
Yeah.
it does seem, again, I'm not necessarily picking sides. Well, I kind of am, really. I'm on the side of the campers. It's Dartmoor to me seems a highly unspoilt place. It's very large, it's very open, and from what I saw over the day, I didn't see any litter, I didn't see anything untoward. And what's stopping you just pitching up a little tent by the rocks and having a night and waking up to a lovely sunrise in the morning?
Yeah.
It just seems counterintuitive, and it's a step away from, I think, where we should be.
Yeah, I
But
completely agree. Completely
that's
agree.
it, really. That's my experience of Dartmoor. So
I
lovely
love
place.
Dartmoor. I'll add to Dartmoor, actually, Hedley, if that's acceptable to you, because I've got some wonderful experiences, or had some wonderful experiences with Dartmoor.
Okay.
It started with a little place we found once called the Stover Canal, which I think went to Bovey Tracy, or from, where are we? Let's have a look. Here we go. So Bovey Tracy, I can't remember where the basin for the canal is, but it's only a short canal, essentially sort of Bovey Tracy area down towards Newton Abbot to the River
Yeah.
Tay. And there was a chap whose name will elude me, but he built a tramway, so a very early railway. And he built it out of granite, because if you've got a lot of granite, too much granite, why not build a railway out of granite? So if you have a look on a map directly to the west of Bovey Tracy, by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kilometres, exactly 5 kilometres west of Bovey Tracy, you'll see some lines on an OS map. And it says tramway. Templar Way, it's called now. But that was the Hator Granite Tramway. And it's such a beautiful thing, because this guy built this railway out of granite. So he laid track bits out of granite, and you can see where there's points, or as the Americans refer to them, switches, out of granite. And it's just wonderful. So you can just imagine, you can start again, I'm going to be putting pictures up of this myself, but there's a system of getting your granite down to the sea.
Oh, yeah. So this was from the Hator quarry by Hator, on the side of Hator Rock itself, by the looks of it.
Hator, there's all sorts. So when you get to that point where it's Hator Rocks, behind Hator Rocks, course of tramway quarries, there's at least 6 or 7 different sort of branches that eventually join up with the Templar Way, and they go all the way down round what is the road. I don't know what road that is now, but and it goes all the way down into Bovey Tracy, and even in the back streets of Bovey Tracy, you can trace some of this granite tramway, and it's wonderful.
So
It's
it
like you're.
follows the rivers down to Newton Abbot, by the looks of it,
Yes,
somehow.
there is a. They did canal some of that journey, like a proper canal, and it was the Stover Canal. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take the opportunity to flip to Canal Map Online, and I'll tell you exactly where it started, because if you ever do visit Dartmoor, it would be very, very worth your time to go and see it. Right, so there we go. Let's flip to map satellite view. Right, Teen Grace. So not quite Bovey Tracy, a bit further south than Bovey Tracy. Right, Teen Grace, down to Newton Abbot. There was a short canal, and of course the tramway joined up with the basin of the canal, up through Heathfield, just to the west of Bovey Tracy, and all the way up into Hator Rocks.
Yeah, and that's somewhere I didn't go. I had
Yeah, you were
Hator
kind of the other side,
maps.
weren't you?
Yeah, well, I had Hator maps originally, but it seems to be the most visited place in Dartmoor, and I didn't
Yeah.
want that to be my first experience of
No,
Dartmoor.
and that's fair enough, because it is the
My
most
proper
visited,
first.
because it's that side. So you can hop off the motorway, and within about 5 miles you're in Dartmoor. It's busy. The time we went there, it was very busy. But going back to your side, Princetown used to have a railway. I mean, it must be one of the highest in the country, really, just looking at the map, because it's 430 meters high. And we started out video making, doing remote abandoned railway stations, and King's Tor had a railway station.
Okay.
In the middle of nowhere, and it was a railway station built largely for walkers. So you'd be able to get your train up to from Plymouth up to, is it Yelverton?
Yeah,
And then
Yelverton.
at, yeah, there's a tunnel under Yelverton somewhere still to this day, but you can't get there
Yeah,
because
Princeton
the
Railway.
yeah. So go to Yelverton
Oh,
if you're
it
looking there.
branches off the Great Western.
Yeah, are you in Yelverton?
Okay. Yeah, I've got a map of
Yeah.
Yelverton, and then it goes up to
Well,
Dowsland or something.
yeah. Go south of Yelverton by a
Okay.
kilometre, less than a kilometre. So in
Yeah.
Yelverton, you'll see
Yeah.
a branch zoom up around Yelverton. And that branch
Yep.
line goes from there, 200 metres high, all the way up to Princetown. And there
Yeah.
was two or three stations on the way that were largely for walkers. There was King's Tor.
King's Tor's in kind of a U shape on the
Yes.
railway, by the looks of
And
it,
if,
yeah.
yeah, so basically on the, where it says Swell Tor Quarries,
Yeah.
that's exactly where the station was.
Okay.
But head back towards Yelverton around that loop, and can you see Ingrator?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yep.
Ingrator also used to have a railway station.
Okay.
I mean, let's call it a railway station, a
Yeah.
halt or whatever. But again,
Yeah.
two of the most remote abandoned stations in the country, right there,
Wow.
King's Tor and Ingrator Halt. And yeah, Princetown obviously where
Fogging
the railway.
Tor is the other one near the top. Fogging
Yes,
Tor. Yeah.
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 But yeah, I love Dartmoor, and
Yeah.
as you said, there's so much prehistory as well.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long for you to just flip around and look at settlements, cairns, pits, just a sea of joy.
Someone put on Twitter a picture of Stone Circle taken from a drone there, and every other comment was, "You're not allowed to fly your drone, you're not allowed to fly your drone." And so
Yeah.
that was kind of a pre-warning for me before I actually went.
Yeah.
So I don't want to
I
be,
it's
you know.
I'm in two minds because I understand why.
I
But
understand why, but it's such a huge place. I mean, maybe there could be areas where you're not allowed to fly, like Hay-Tor, you know, something like
Yeah.
that. If it's a place where there's lots of people, then yeah, people don't want drones buzzing over. But if you're in the middle
Yeah.
of nowhere, like we were with Brator and stuff like that, what's to stop? You know, there's no one for miles, you know, and you've got this tiny little thing that hardly makes a noise, and it's not
Yeah.
going to scare livestock. So
Yeah.
I suppose maybe the rules were designed in the time when drones were these big agricultural things with, you know, piston engines and God knows what
Yeah,
in
well, the original
them.
DJI,
Yeah, the old Phantom
Phantom,
range.
yeah,
Yeah,
they
they
were
are
huge.
noisy. They are noisy.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
Yeah, so.
have you got anything? You were going to talk about something as well.
I was only going to add, which probably should have been in news. You might have seen as well, Eddie, there was a whole heritage story which blew up hugely. Care of Joanne Crompton, who let's call her a campaigner for the sort of I'd say female rights on a heritage railway, and she's been subject to abuse for years and years, and done
Yeah.
1,000 talks on, you know, being more inclusive and being, you know, not sort of the traditional sense of the railways, which are very male orientated. But she's fully qualified
Yeah.
engine driver, fire person, whatever. I'm getting all this wrong, but who cares? And she's continually subject to harassment and bullying because she's female. And it's such a sad set of affairs. And she was sacked by the, make sure I get this right, the East Lancashire Railway. They
Sorry,
said,
is this modern day, or is this back in the days when
this is
this is
a
happening
week
the
ago, yeah.
oh,
A week ago, she put in a
okay.
complaint, said, I've been harassed in my volunteer workplace. I'd like you to do something about it, please.
Yeah.
East Lancashire Railway turned around and said, we uphold your complaint. So we agree with you, but we'd like you to leave. And yeah, that's that. It just
That's
enraged me in this day and age.
I thought, I know it sounds stupid, but I thought we were beyond all of that. I thought that, you know, this you can watch stuff, you know, Harry Enfield mocking that from 100 years ago. Why is that sort of stuff happening now? Why?
I
I
do
don't
know.
get it.
The chairman, before anybody really tweeted about it, the chairman blocked anybody that followed Joanne in like a preemptive move. So I looked at his profile and I'd
Yeah.
been blocked. I'm thinking, this is really strange. And then he said it was a technical glitch, and he didn't mean to block everybody, although I'm still blocked from following him on Twitter. But it's such a backwards, sorry state of affairs when we should be thinking, this is a heritage railway.
Mm.
Everybody's welcome. And if you're qualified, who cares what sex you are, what orientation, anything. Just enjoy, let people enjoy the railway. And yeah, if they're qualified and they're absolutely 100% capable of doing something, then let them do it. Don't agree with the fact they're being bullied and then sack them. In the workplace, as you well know, Hedley, I'm sure, that's the biggest lawsuit in the world for somebody, because you can't do that.
No, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and yeah, that is a moderate rant, but I just felt so stupid.
No, a valid one. That's just ridiculous. I mean, yeah, that there are no words really, are there?
No. It's, so I wish Joanne the very best of luck in however she handles it. I don't think she'll want to go back there, whether they apologise or whether they don't, whatever they want to do. And, you know, I think she would be best fitted somewhere else that would accept her for exactly the person she is, which is the extremely well-qualified and well-respected steam engine driver.
Yeah.
Whatever the right phrase is. It's just a sorry state of affairs. So I wish her a bit of luck, and I hope East Lancashire Railway sort themselves out from the top down, because if there's bullying in a workplace, it is often from the top down. And I'm not throwing accusations at specific people, but you need to stop it from the top. The person at the top needs to lead by example.
Definitely. And I think most of the thriving organisations do lead by example, you know. No, there's no room for that nowadays. That's just ridiculous, you know.
So there we go. So let's lighten things up then, Hedley. Let's lighten things up.
Should we lighten things up with comments?
Yes, that's exactly what I was getting. Yes.
Is that what you're getting to?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So let's see what people have said.
Well,
so
I will admit that I've not read any comments on the last two videos. So let's rectify.
Oh, I read them. Yeah. So 13 days ago from today, so we had our Wessex Ways podcast 8. We're now episode 9, and we did the Ridgeway.
I enjoyed that episode,
actually. Yeah, I enjoyed that. So let's have a look at the comments. So first of all, I can't believe Paul hasn't watched Breaking Bad. I need to guide him.
That's so true. Yes, apologies. I haven't.
Words fail me. Someone called Anna said, Hedley, no, okay, we'll move on from whoever that is. Just kidding, Anna. Just kidding. No, she was nice. She was just... saying she enjoyed the day school, the Ridgeway day school. That's good. So Davey 941, hello again, Paul and Hedley, another interesting show. I could listen to Paul and you waffle on for hours. Oh, that's nice, thank you.
Yeah, I think Davey's an old school fan of the White Wicks, I think.
Yeah. There's a long comment here, so I won't read it all out, but it is nice. From Oliver G. Hunter, great stuff as always, thanks again. Fab news about joining for Sir David Attenborough. He went on about he took his family to Wayland Smithy from Uffington Whitehorse last year, and they loved it. And they've stayed at Town Farm campsite just to the northeast of Ivinghoe a few times. Nice site. And he put another kind of few more experiences in there. So thanks for that, Oliver. David Balani. Now, David always comments on the videos. He's a great chap. I believe he and I follow each other on Twitter as well. He said, so, hi, David, first of all. I watched this a few days ago, but I haven't had time to comment. It's great to watch the map work on YouTube. He really enjoys it, so that's gone down well. He's put a little bit about hill figures. So the Watlington marker states this was cut in 1764 by Edward Horne, and he believed it to be an estate marker, although some think that it's a phallic symbol. There we go.
Did you? Fair enough. We're not talking about the church steeple.
Yeah, this is the thing. He's put Watlington. Now, I did think that, I did think that it was meant to be a church steeple, and I've looked elsewhere and that says that too, but. Okay. Phallic symbol, maybe. I can see both, to be honest with you, but yes. So let's have a look. Barry Ballard, 1408. He enjoyed the Ridgeway piece. He said in autumn 2007, along with a couple of family members, he and his wife spent a memorable week walking from Overton Hill to Ivanhoe Beacon. So that's the length of the Ridgeway. As they're walking up the incline to Wayland Smithy, they began to faintly hear music coming towards them. It grew louder until suddenly a male individual appeared round a bend playing a tin whistle. And he likes to think that he was dressed as a minstrel, but he can't remember. He certainly had no walking gear or rucksack and didn't look up or acknowledge him as they passed. He just continued to play, immersed in his music. And he's but given the natural magic of the Ridgeway, it was like we were seeing a traveller on the path from the past. And he said, we stood in silence, exchanging, did we really see that looks to each other? And they were too stunned to take a photo. That is brilliant. That's superb. I'll reply to that in a bit. Stuart Bridger, 5177. Nice one. Good to see detail on Ridgeway. He'll admit to being one of those tourists who only know Whitehorse Hill and Wayland Smithy, but he's now going to expand his horizon. So I'd do it. Anywhere on the Ridgeway is good.
Yep.
Jim Champion. Again, I think he might be on Twitter. He answers a technical query. Paul, you disappeared from the amphitheatre because Teams stopped sharing your video when you started sharing your screen. To reappear, just need to click the video camera icon in the Teams toolbar.
Well, we've got more problems than that, Hedley, because
we've got no amphitheatre this week.
So
we've got no amphitheatre. So
I appreciate the help, but
yeah,
if you're sure Teams isn't going to disappear, Hedley, then I probably should upgrade, shouldn't I? So we can have our permanent amphitheatre back.
Yeah. Smoking Rider says about the unrecorded lanes. He said people have had nearly 25 years to record these unrecorded lanes. Count yourself lucky. For byway claims, we've had a year to claim those rights, and every obstacle was put in our way. Most claims are still pending 20 years after submission.
Right.
Wow. Let's have a look.
So he's a byways man, is what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Peter Smith, surely the number of locks doesn't matter for water loss. So this is going back to your locks thing.
Oh, yeah, okay.
When a boat goes down one lock, some water is lost to the next pound, but that same volume of water then moves down 1 pound for the next lock, etc. But it's only that one volume of water that moves down the whole flight when a boat traverses it.
Yes and no. Yes, that's correct.
Mm.
But, oh, I need to visualise it again.
Yeah, we need to visualise. But certainly the locks at Calm do have a pool by each one for some reason, so yeah.
Yeah, they do. The Cane Hill locks, they do. Because that exact amount of water adds 300 yards to the length between each lock.
Yeah, yeah. So Barry Conway recommends the Aston Rowant Hill on the Ridgeway. He says, Chinner Cementworks Lake can be attractive in a certain light. I think he's right. I need to get there. Cymbeline Castle at Great Kimble, with nearby siege works, are still visible, but very near Chequers, so maybe flight restrictions. Nah. Coombe Hill, of course, that's the monument. He said it's from the Second Boer War, with barrows too. Yeah. Don't look at the HS2 scars, too painful. Opposite hill above Wendover has Boddington Camp, but probably not visible from the air. And there, sadly, his Ridgeway knowledge ends. But thank you very much, Barry. And finally, SUAS News just says, hooray, just the ticket.
Splendid.
So that is the comments on last week's video. So, again, can't guarantee we read them all out, but if you have any comments on, especially Dartmoor today, or anything we've talked about, put it down below, and hopefully we'll be able to mention people on the next video.
I think if any interesting comments, we'll try and make a point of reading from that, from this point forwards, because then, as you say, people might find that interesting, and it always adds to our knowledge of stuff anyway, or adds an interesting story, a twist, or as all part of the fun.
Thank you very much for joining us. And we'll get this one out in the next few days. And obviously, if there's any, actually, on that point, if there's anywhere anyone wants us to cover in Wessex, maybe if you've seen Paul or I having visited somewhere on Twitter or something, or Instagram, just again, put it down in the comments and just mention, and we'll see if maybe we can get that covered. So
this is very true, because between the two of us, we've been to 1,000 different places, and we just take it for granted, don't we? It was just, you know, it's just, well, it was there. But yeah, if anyone wants us to expand on somewhere, especially that we've been on one of our old videos, absolutely fine by us. I think it would be quite interesting to do that. So
yeah, definitely. Okay, thank you very much. And I'm Hedley, he's Paul, and we will speak to you next time.